Blog Talk Radio.
In danger when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. Today is Wednesday, December 18th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, I welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
The incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensie. Technology you can trust.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is the second Wednesday of the month. That means only one thing. It is time for Garden Wise Living with Arlena. And I believe today we're talking about winter squash and winter greens, if I'm not mistaken. But it wouldn't be the first time I'm wrong. So let's go ahead and put our hands together and welcome Garden Wise Living guru. Yep, you guessed it. Arlena Schott.
Hello, everybody. Hey, hello. Welcome back, and me and you and everybody, and yeah. Hey, it's cold here. Just saying. I mean, it's a little cold, but it's no big deal. It's cold. We do have snow on the ground. That's great for Christmas. Yes, Christmas.
Are you kidding me?
I love it.
This will be our last show before 2014, and it's such a sad occasion, but we will resume in 2014, and sometime in 2014, the closer than further, we'll broadcast our 1,000th episode, and I'm starting in my head to kind of plan that, have all the host on one show and just reminisce and have a good time and talk about good things and what's to come and all that fun stuff. So that'll be our 1,000th episode. And I've told you, some of y'all before, to put that in perspective, the TV show Friends had like 230 episodes. Seinfeld only had 180 episodes, and we're coming up on 1,000. That ought to tell you something right there. And it tells you that we have absolutely nothing else to do with our time except for do podcasts about chickens. But
that's it.
But
that's all we have to do.
Gotta love it.
Yes,
so
we
inquiring minds want to know, is there wine on the show today?
Oh, of course, we have wine. And today's wine is one of my absolute favorites in the entire universe, only because of the fact that it is sweet wine, and you know how much I like my sweet wine.
Mad Dog 2020.
And today's wine comes from Wilshermy. It's Wilshermy Winery. Yeah, say that 10 times fast. Woolesheim Winery. Uh-huh. They are in Prairie du Chac, Wisconsin. So this is Prairie du Sac, however you would like to pronounce it. Here is a local wine, and it is a sweet wine, and I'm going to pour some because it is ice wine. And if anybody knows, oh, just to pour it a little is all. Oh, it's one of my absolute favorites. It's sweet, but it does still have a fruity taste, and it's amazing. And what is ice wine? Really, what is ice wine? But it's perfect for the upper northern climates of Wisconsin, because what happens is ice wine is made when the vineyards or the winemakers leave their grapes on the vine to freeze. Then they harvest them, and what it does is it brings those sugars. It just like crystallizes and makes those sugars in the grapes, in the fruit, let's say, more condensed or more strong, more strength. Anyway, the flavor is absolutely amazing, and it is one of my favorite wines. So that is our wine for the day. So we're drinking a lot of it because it is cold out here. It's in It's let's see, maybe 5 degrees right now. It's going to be, yesterday was warm. It's like bikini weather. And Annie Haven, which is here with Green Soil, she's in the chat room.
Yes, lady.
Yep, she was running around in her bikini yesterday because it was like 85 degrees where she's at there in San Juan Capistrano. But here,
It was cool. I think it was about 48 this morning here in southern Florida, but we're going to warm up to about 78 today. And then we're going to hit the 80s the rest of the week. So I'll post a picture on your Facebook page, my darling, of me in the pool my Speedo. So I just wanted
in
to make
your
sure.
Speedo. I am so excited. That would be all I would want for Christmas. My Christmas present's done by. That would be
I'll post Andy Snyder in his Speedo.
Thank you very much. I can't wait to see it. I will make sure and have my glasses on.
You need
on
a lot
so
more wine
every...
before you see that, my friend.
I'll make sure and get my glasses on so I can see every bit of it. Full strength. It is right now it's 20 degrees, which is actually a really nice heat wave for us here in Wisconsin. We did have 22 below not too long ago, and that was pretty chilly. But we do have some snow, which is really pretty. I like frosting, and so winter is here, and it's perfect for the holidays. But anyway, so we have our ice wine, and I'm really excited about that. Let's see. Yes.
Do you have any cheese, like some brie or some port wine?
I do have some brie, which what we did last night, and we did have brie, mm-hmm. which is really strange that you ask. But brie is one of my absolute favorites as well. I think food in general is it's my favorite anyway. So you take your brie, and you cook it for a bit. You bake it for a bit. And just so that it starts to get soft. Then you take it out of the oven and you wrap it in a shell, a pastry shell, and then you bake it and you put a little, excuse me, then you put you bake the cheese so that it's just almost creamy, not quite, because it's inside of a really tough shell. And what you do then is you put jalapeno cream cheese on the whole, jalapeno jelly on the whole entire thing of cheese. Then you wrap it inside of a pastry shell and make a really pretty, fun, I like to make it look like it's a holly leaf on top. Then you put egg wash on it and milk and egg wash, whip that together, and then you bake it until it's just golden brown. So then when you cut into it, you have the jalapeno jelly, the brie cheese, and you serve it on a cracker, and it's absolutely amazing, just saying. And you serve it, of course, with ice wine. And it's even better yet, yeah. Oh, goodness, anyway.
It's basically a cheese burrito for snooty people.
Yes, how did you know that? How did you even know that? Yes, and you know how snooty we are here in Wisconsin. They're really, really snooty. Gosh, not. We are not the snootiest. We are not snooty at all. Anyway, today kind of a like, we weren't really sure of our topic, so we're just kind of all over the place, I think. Only because I know we... What's that?
you were correct. We were kind of fishing for a topic today, and you had said something about holiday meals, which sounds delicious, and I was thinking maybe a little bit about winter squash and some winter greens, but it's your call. You're the guest host today, so
It is all about – it is, Andy. It's all about me, and everybody knows that.
Well, not just today, but all the time it's all about you. Okay, I'll put that in my memo book.
Yeah, right, Annie Haven? You know me. It's all about me. Anyway, so today I thought, you know, we can mix it up. We can do what we need to do because I know we need to go a little earlier. So we could talk about winter squash, using that for our holiday meals, Christmas, New Year's. Winter squash is one of my absolute favoritists in the entire universe to cook and eat. I will use it just strictly for a meal. I mean, it is amazingly good and delicious, and there's so many varieties and so many wonderful ways to cook it. Of course, mine being the favoritist, for instance, an acorn squash or a butternut squash, is to slice it in half, take out the seeds cavity, then bake it or roast it in the oven, or if you have a grill, you could do it that way, whichever way you are. If you're a little Amish, you may just have an oven or with wood stove. So what you do is you bake it until it's just, I like mine really tender. I don't know. El Dante to me with a winter squash is just, man, you just don't go there. I like it, cook it till it's just as soft as you can get it. And I put brown sugar and butter on it, and just until it's dripping off, and it's absolutely amazing. Then you smush it up and eat it with a good ribeye, and it's just delicious. Mm-hmm. And wine. Always have to have wine. But anyway, winter squash is easy to grow. I have, like we talked before, I have volunteer winter squash every year, and I just let them grow, and they just kind of hump over the fence and go out in the field, and if the cows get a few, well, they get a few. If not, that's even better. But then I think I had like 15 volunteer acorn squash this year, which was absolutely amazing for my two little plants that I didn't even plant. So that tells you how easy they are to grow. So next spring, I want you all to try to remember to plant some winter squash, whether it be butternut, be acorn, or banana squash, which are the big, long, pink ones that Grandma made pumpkin pie with, or pie with, squash pie, or Hubbard squash, which keeps forever and ever and ever and amen in the basement or the cellar or the cool spot, wherever you may have it, and you have to use an axe to open it up. Or just plain delicata squash is wonderful. There are so many wonderful, wonderful, wonderful winter squashes out there that are delicious, and they are so good for you. They are the ultimate in healthy food. They are. So, you know, the tough shell, their winter squash has thick, tough shells, but they're rich, and rich flesh is rich and wonderful, and it's so good for you. You don't have to smother it with butter. You could eat it just plain if you'd like with a little brown sugar or raw sugar, either way or not. Either plain is wonderful, but me, butter. You got to have some butter. So lots and lots of butter and brown sugar is my favorite way to eat any kind of winter squash. There's just so many red curry pumpkins make a wonderful good squash pie. There's so many wonderful, wonderful winter squashes.
Acorn squash, I think it was last week, and we just cut that sucker in half, scoop all the seeds out and whatnot, a little butter, a little cinnamon, and then microwave it. The way we cooked it instead of in the oven, and it was quite good. We love to do that, but I haven't tried the brown sugar before. We'll have to try some brown sugar, but we did the butter and cinnamon, and it was delicious.
It is delicious. Yep, you just have to. My daughter, she does we have her do a winter squash dish for us for instance, for Thanksgiving, and we might have it for Christmas, but we may not, because I think we're going to switch it up last year we did this. Well, I'll go back to the squash. Anyway, we had her do this where she takes the acorn squash, and they have a Traeger grill, and she roasts it, and then she scoops out the center of it, and you could use any winter squash that you like, and then you mix that with honey, molasses, all kinds of wonderful blue brown sugar, you know, all kinds of goodies. And you bake it with Rice Krispies and cinnamon on top. So you bake it, so when you bake it, of course, it's heating. It's just basically heating your squash. It's already roasted, so you have that wonderful roasted flavor mixed with a couple eggs that gives you kind of a fluffy, almost a souffle type squash, real fluffy.
Yeah.
So you mix it with egg and cream and the squash, kind of like a pie. And then you put Rice Krispies mixed with cinnamon and chop almonds on it, or chopped pecans or whatever you may have, walnuts. And then bake it. Sprinkle that on top and bake it. So what happens is you get this wonderful souffle type squash dish. Then on top is this crust of deliciousness. It is. It's just absolutely delicious, and the
kids
really, really enjoy it.
It almost sounds like a different style of doing your sweet potato souffle with the mini marshmallows on top that you put in the oven.
Yes.
And the marshmallows. So that sounds like kind of the same thing, but you're using the acorn squash and then the Rice Krispie treats with the almonds on top.
Yes.
So that
on
does
top.
Sound very, very, very good.
It is delicious. Absolutely one of our favorites. I'm getting a little parched. I better drink some wine, this ice wine, since it's very chilly outside. Oh, wonderful. It's just absolutely to die for. Anyway, but winter squash is just one of my favorites. And the greens, you talked about, well, let's talk a little bit about winter greens. One of my favorite dishes, again, is Swiss chard. And kale, and spinach, and, oh, goodness, just absolutely wonderful for you. So good, rich,
turnip
and
greens,
absolutely
and collard greens, and mustard greens down here in the South.
I know, and see, one time we talked about this, and you kept going. I was talking about, like, holly and boughs for decorating, and you're going off on collards, and I'm like, no, we're talking about greens, how to keep your greens fresh for the holidays. And you were like, okay, yeah, I like collard greens. And
turnip
greens
and cornbread with a little pepper sauce on it.
Yeah. But but actually today we are actually talking about greens. One more thing about winter squash. If you're planning on planting winter squash, it does take longer days. You know, it's like 95 to 105 days from germination till producing fruit. So you want to make sure and get either A, if you buy plants from the garden center, if you don't think you have a long enough growing season, or if you plant your plants, make sure you plant by seed. You want to plant those like as soon as you can get them in the garden, because they do take just a little bit longer than some, for instance, our summer squashes. Okay, that's enough about that. We took care of that garden guru stuff. Okay, back to greens. Swiss chard is easy to grow. Is so easy. It comes. The seeds are little tiny seeds that you just sprinkle them in a row. You know, I have family members. I'm not going to say who it is. Ashley and Jason with a CSA. Anyway, they sit on their hands and knees and they put one seed, measure two seeds, measure three seeds. I'm like, really? Really? But you know what? They have the most gorgeous, huge Swiss chard that there is. So I guess that tells you, you know, something. But if you're like me and you're a rebel gardener and really just love to garden, and if it's going to take a lot of effort, I'm not doing it. So Swiss chard, you open your packet, you make your row. You know, if you use a string line, go ahead. I don't, so mine kind of a little crooked sometimes. And then I lay my seed in, lightly, lightly cover them with soil, barely cover them with soil. And then they come up, and they're just wonderful. Swiss chard comes in, like, the new neon colors. Have you seen those? There's a bright pink and bright orange and bright red. Just absolutely gorgeous. They make some beautiful pictures, and they are absolutely gorgeous. And when you do cook them, they lose their color, but they do keep their color, unlike, for instance, yellow green beans, that when you cook them, they turn green anyway. Or purple, excuse me, purple green beans, when you cook them, they turn green anyway. So what's the point? But anyway, so Swiss chard, and how I cook Swiss chard, this is my way I cook it. I don't know how any of y'all do it, but this is how I do it. I steam my Swiss chard, and you could use this recipe for pretty much any green, even kale. I steam in a boil, whatever you want to do. You do what you want to do. Drain it off, obviously. And then I like vinegar, butter, and a little salt and pepper. And that's how I like to eat my Swiss chard, and it's just absolutely just to die for. Of course, butter, 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 lots of butter, and wine, but you don't put wine in it. But you can use wine vinegar if you choose, but I use just actually, wine vinegar is really good, or balsamic will give you a little richer flavor, but wine vinegar with butter is amazing way I like it on steamed Swiss chard. Now, a lot of people like to, for instance, kale. And did you know kale, you just use the leaf and not the center? I mean, that you don't use it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You strip the leaves off. Okay. So a friend of mine, she did some kale for us, and absolutely delicious, where she did like a bacon, you know, sautéed the bacon, and then in the grease, not all the grease, but, you know, in the grease, you would throw your kale in and some butter and then swish it around and then throw back in, chop up the bacon and throw that back in. Oh, my gosh. Just
bacon.
Die for.
Bacon. You had, you had me at bacon.
I had you at bacon. Yep. Yep, yep, yep. We got to do bacon. Yes, and then I would pair that with a good Machado wine. I mean, just saying. But anyway, that is a really good way to cook kale. Kale is so good for you. Actually, all our greens are just absolutely great for us. And I am actually talking about, like, collards and things like that. I'm not talking about winter, like, boughs for the Christmas tree. No, I'm talking about winter greens. Yeah, they're really good for us. And easy to fix, and easy to grow, and just Swiss chard of any flavor, any variety. So easy to grow. Even right now in the warmer climates, what?
Hey, you said Christmas tree.
Oh, gosh. That's okay, I'll sip wine.
Here we're running out of time.
Yes, please. It is. It's only, what is it today? 10 days from today?
7 days.
I think so. 10 days. I think so. Yeah, I was
seven
really excited
days.
Because how many? Seven.
Seven.
About a week ago, I thought we. Well, 2 weeks ago, I thought we were 10 days away. So I actually was so excited when I figured out I had an extra week.
You still think you got 10 days, but no, just seven.
But 2 weeks ago I thought I only had 10 days, so I was really excited to find out that I really had quite a bit of time, so I'm really ready. Are you ready? I'm ready. You still have to get that picture for me, though. That's going to be my Christmas present.
Yeah, it's going to warm up a little bit more. You know, 75, 72 today, but when it gets up to 80, 85, I'll get into the pool and get you that snapshot.
Yes. Oh, please do. I am just so excited. I can't even hardly wait. I will probably have that framed in like a poster size for my office. So every time I do the show.
It's the first time I've been able to use it. I got an email from a fan that said they had a fat head of me on their wall, and I had no clue what that meant. I said, is this an insult? Is it, you know? And so I reached out to all my wonderful Facebook fans, and I said, am I the only one on the planet that have never heard of a fat head? And they said, some said yes, some said no, but apparently it's a life-size poster that you can have made up almost like a magnet or a cardboard, and you place it on your wall. And apparently there's a lot of, I didn't know this since I don't know on television, but there's a company called Fathead that makes them, and they're blasting commercials out all over the place for Christmas gifts. You can get a fat head of your favorite NFL team player, or the helmet, or your favorite ice skater, or your favorite wrestler. So, but anyway, I had no idea what a fat head was. But yeah, you could make that picture of me into a fat head and put it on your wall.
I can't wait. I am so excited. I mean, that's going to be like my goal for New Year's. It is. It really is, Andy. I'm not teasing you here. I am not teasing at all.
Absolutely. And the special models of those, my eyes are actually webcams. So.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Well, what I'll do is we'll put it in a chicken calendar and we'll put it as like Mr. December or something like that. Yeah, we'll do that. It'll be a hit for sure. It'll be a seller, best seller.
There you go. There you go. So what's your favorite green? You said you like chard.
Yes.
What about kale?
I do like kale. I like it if it's cooked correctly. And that just takes a little bit of time for everybody to figure out how they like it cooked and prepared. I did do it one time where I didn't quite get it done enough, so it was a little bit tough. So make sure to really, I like it cooked really well. Let's put it that way, because it is pretty thick. It's pretty thick stuff.
I think a lot of people don't do the greens because it is, let's face it, it's pretty time-consuming to cook some of these, especially if you go out and harvest them right out of your garden, whether it be the collards or the mustard greens or the turnip greens. And I mean, you got to harvest them, then you got to wash the heck out of them, maybe even two or three times to get all the sand off of them. And then let's face it, you got to boil them down, and then put some ham hock in there, whatever flavor you may want to add, and pig's feet, whatever, and then, it's pretty time-consuming to cook greens.
It is. It's
down
it's
to where they taste good and edible and flavorful.
You have to think about it ahead of time, something.
Yeah. Preparation.
Or Swiss chard. It's quick. It's just that it takes a while to cook, so you don't want to just say 2 minutes before dinner's ready. You want to say, okay, I'm going to have Swiss chard. Now, we always think ahead and go, okay, and you always cut twice as much as you think you need because a batch, a mass, it cooks down, so my pot's like heaping, and everybody's like, wow, you're cooking that much. No, it comes way down. And you know what? It's wonderful frozen even afterwards. If you have leftover Swiss chard, freeze it up. It's just wonderful frozen, too. It doesn't, it's not, everybody says, you cook too much. Never too much if you have a freezer.
And then if you, if you were doing collards or turnips or something, we've got the, what they call down here in South, rank meat, or just some good smoked ham hock or something you put in there for some extra flavor. You get all the greens out, there's some juice with that, but you've got this pot full of juice at the bottom, and we'll freeze that. They call it pot liquor. I don't know if anybody else around the country calls it that, but pot liquor.
Pot liquor.
Pot liquor, and you'll just take all that leftover juice, really a thin gravy, and save it. Then you can add it to other things that you might fix to add it a little flavor to it. So pot liquor.
Sure.
Is what we call
pot
it.
Pot liquor.
Yeah.
Or you can make a boiled dinner in it after that, Petfoit. Here in Wisconsin, we call it boiled dinner, where you put your potatoes and carrots and cabbage and chunks of meat, and you boil that sucker. It's called boiled dinner.
Hey, give me some suggestions here. Yesterday, we went grocery shopping, and we bought two. I've never prepared them before, not like a whole chicken, but the tiny little, they're about the size of my fist, the size of a man's fist, little Cornish hens. And they were on sale, and I picked two up. I said, let's try these. I was going to get just a boneless turkey breast to cook. I've cooked those before and then used the meat, just the two of us plus Caleb, And then we have sandwiches and other things like that. So we don't need to cook a full turkey. A full turkey won't fit in our little RV oven anyway. So I was going to do that. And of course, I got a small sliced ham, again, about double size of a man's fist. But I said, well, instead of the turkey, let's try these small little Cornish game hens, again, about the size of a big fist, and I've got to thaw them out first, and I'm going to bake them, and any suggestions on how to prepare that? I've never prepared those tiny little things before, and I said, I'm going to bake them in the oven. Any suggestions? Just a little, maybe, I don't know, rosemary or thyme, or maybe get a mix it in the solution with butter and then kind of baste it throughout baking it. What do you suggest?
Oh, yeah. Those little guys, they're amazing little tidbits of joy to me, the little Cornish game hens or even little quail or things like that. I stuff them. Well, just like I would do a turkey, I stuff them with your favorite gravy, you know, tie their little feet up. And then, like you said, I baste them with a butter herb mixture, which is fresh herbs, chopped real fine, mixed with my butter, and then baste them, or you could slide the butter up underneath the skin over the top of the breast, and then put the base, and then baste too. But if you slide it up under the skin, the butter and the herb butter, you wouldn't have to baste, and they're just absolutely wonderful. Maybe at the end, baste them a bit just to get some good crunch on that outer skin. That's one of my favorite spots.
Yeah.
A little rosemary.
There's just almost not enough to really inject like you would with a turkey or something. I know a lot of people make slits in the turkey and poke down pieces of garlic, and then they get the old injector out syringe and inject it, things like that.
Air compressor. Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. It's crazy.
Yes.
And, I'll be honest. I've had turkey, I'm only 44, but I've had turkey prepared a lot of ways. And I've got a brother-in-law now that he just loves to do fried turkeys. He's had the one with the propane tank and over flame.
Yum.
And then lately, recently, he got an infrared. It's an electric fryer, and it uses infrared heat. And so every year he makes does the fried turkey, but he's done with the dangerous outside propane tank and stuff. He's got an indoor infrared, or anyway. So, it's always very good. The skin does have a good flavor. It's always pretty juicy and whatnot. I've had plenty that were cooked in the oven, and I've never had a really, really good one I rave about cooked in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, and it just makes sense, the most juicy and really probably the most flavorful turkey I've ever had, and never would have dreamed it when I first saw it. I had only had oven turkeys for Thanksgiving. But this was way back when, probably 25 years ago. My girlfriend back at the time, her mom boiled the turkey. She had a huge pot. She filled it up with water. She set it on the stove. Dropped that turkey down in there and just boiled it like you would, I guess, a hot dog or something.
Really?
And, yes. And I'm telling you what, that was the tastiest, most juicy turkey I've ever had my entire life out of all the others. Yep, she just boiled it. And then you could almost
turkey.
Just, when you grab a leg, the leg bone just pulls right out. I mean, it's almost, you know, cut it with a fork, pull the leg off. You go to pull the bone of the leg, the turkey leg, and the bone comes right out. It's a tender. And it was wonderful. I would have never dreamt. I said, what are you doing? I'm boiling turkey. It's a big old pot.
I never would have thought.
Boil it. And it was, gosh, to this day, it just really was like, I
really
forgot about it.
Good.
I hadn't cooked one since.
Huh.
It was totally,
so
totally
you're telling
awesome.
Me you think about your ex-girlfriend a lot? I'm just not really liking this little conversation here. But anyway, it was her turkey that you liked. That's right. So that's good. That's just a different way of doing it. I have never, ever tried it. You know, I might just have to give it a try just because. Maybe I'll just try a chicken and see, boil the whole chicken and then bake it afterwards, or no, just boil it, period.
They just boiled it. Yep, that was it. Just like a hot dog.
Just like a hot dog. We're having boiled turkey for dinner with some collards. You Southern people are strange. Anyway, we're going to do something
kind of
different this year. Y'all kind of strange. Our brains are frozen up here, but you guys are just never. You know, it's always kind of just sitting in the mushland. I don't know. He says, all right, we'll meet someday, Arlena. But Last year we did this, and I really, really enjoy it. We do have Thanksgiving's huge here. We have 20-some more people at my house, and it's wonderful. But it is an all-day process. But the process is what I really enjoy. I really do. You know, the bacon, everybody bakes something. You give somebody we have a big conversation on Facebook where everybody's involved. You know how that works, where you add the people, and then everybody that's added in that conversation, which that's what I like about Facebook. It's so communicatable or something. I don't know if that's a word. But anyway, communication is so easy that way. Besides just a phone call to each and every one, it's actually like having a party line where you add people and have this conversation. So that's what we do for the holidays. So everybody's on the same page at what time, who's going where, what you're bringing, what not to bring, you know, things like that. So Thanksgiving is, okay, you're bringing this, okay, wonderful. Then I'm going to cook this, this, and this. And it's always, the process is really wonderful. So that's our Thanksgiving tradition. But Christmas, last year, we chose to do all finger foods, hors d'oeuvres and finger foods and decadent desserts. And it really is nice because you have all these grandkids, and for me, that's eight, you know, standing there looking at you going, ah, we want to open presents after dinner, you know, and they're poor kids, you know. So this way, you pretty much eat all day. It's basically what you do anyway at Thanksgiving, other than at the end, you're trying to force people to sit down to this meal after they've eaten all the dips and chips and the veggies and the all the goodies and the eggs and the deviled eggs and the, you know. So now, this way, we just pretty much pork out all day long. You start whenever everybody starts getting here, and it's kind of an open house, come on in, and everything's laid out. Everybody brings all their favorite things, like shrimp and shrimp cocktail and shrimp and more shrimp and shrimp. And you got lots of pies and shrimp. No, cake and chocolate and cookies and, you know, I make my famous, I call it an herb bread, but it's really not the bread that's the show. It's actually the dish. It's made on a huge platter. Now, follow me along here. What you do is you use, and it's wonderful in garden time because you use pretty much everything that's in the garden. You can use whatever you want. But this is what I like to make, and this is like a huge, wonderful, most tradition in our home, is this bread. So you make this big platter, and you chop up garlic. And we're talking like 12 heads of garlic, not cloves, but we're talking 12 heads. So you have an inch wide strip that's probably 2 feet long, my platter, that goes down the middle of that platter. Okay? There's one strip. Then you take red bell pepper, or five, depending on how big. You can make this platter as big as small as you want. You and Jen would have a smaller platter, obviously, but me and my 30 people, we need a couple big platters. And I take red bell peppers, like 8 or 10 of them, whichever, whatever I need. Take red bell peppers, chop them up. Chop, 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 chop. Now, an inch strip or more on that platter, as long as the platter next to the garlic. Now we have red. Then I use yellow bell pepper and an orange bell pepper, and I do the exact same thing, each separate strips. Then I do fresh basil, and I chop that all up in a separate strip. Then I have pine nuts sometimes, or I have goji berries sometimes, or I'll have sunflower seeds are really popular, and you have those in strips. Now, those are an inch wide strips now that are the length of your platter. So pretty soon you can see what's going on here. Then you have tomatoes in a long strip, cucumbers in a long strip chopped up. Raisins are one of my favorites to add. Then you can switch and go to craisins, and then the garlic basically is the show. Then I love feta cheese is one of my favorites, or goat cheese or whatever. But feta is one of my absolute. Mm. You have another inch or 2 inch, whatever, how wide you want your strips. But they're as long as the platter that goes right next to it. So pretty soon you have this gorgeous presentation coming along here. So what then, once you have everything that's put on there, and you can pretty much do whatever you want. One time I roasted some shrimp, and I chopped them up, and I put those in a one strip. And then one time I put strawberries in one strip, because what you do is you take balsamic vinegar. Are you with me here, Andy? You take balsamic vinegar and olive oil, And you glug balsamic vinegar and glug olive oil over the whole thing. And what you do is you take French bread or your favorite bread, whatever you like. Some people really get exciting and really go all out with finding some like good cheese breads and things like that, and you slice them up. And that piece of bread, like the piece of French bread or the piece of cheese bread or the piece of rosemary bread or bread, is your plate. So then you have a spoon, several spoons on this platter, and you can select the things that you want on your bread. And you put it on your bread, and then with that balsamic vinegar and olive oil, that's the dressing, and then you eat it, and it's the most wonderfulest thing in the entire universe. And usually, after everything's kind of blended together and married, and it's been soaking balsamic vinegar and olive oil all day long, that's the best piece right there. So that's what I make. That's like my, yes, Christmas chick. The only thing is better would be bacon and pineapple, absolutely. You could put a strip of bacon in there and a strip of pineapple in there, whatever you want. If you're really into meat and have to have that meat, then why not take a ribeye and barbecue a ribeye really well and cut it up into small pieces and chunks and put that in a strip in there. But that's what we did with our shrimp, and it was just absolutely amazing. And sometimes we'll just have that as a meal.
Someone may bring hamburger, but you wouldn't have the typical ham and turkey, just a bunch of finger foods. You could get your dips, your appetizers, and your heavy hors d'oeuvres with maybe a hot cheese dip or things like
mm-hmm.
maybe some hot meatballs in the crock pot, things like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The chocolate fountain's bubbling with sliced bananas and marshmallows and strawberries and grapes on the side. The kids love that. And so basically all day you just graze. I made these cutest little these things. I was just on Judy Clark NBC show, and I did these cutest little penguins that are made out of olives. Have you seen them? What you do is you take a jumbo olive and you cut like a V shape out of one of his sides. And you stuff him right in that V shape. You stuff cream cheese. Then you take a piece of carrot and you cut off the end of the carrot, and that's his feet. And then you take a smaller olive, like a medium olive, and there's his head. And you take a little piece of carrot and make the beak. Then you take it and put it all, like the carrot, obviously, first, because that's his feet. Then you put the little stuffed olive with cream cheese with the V-shape facing out. That's his body of the penguin. And then you put the little head with the little beak on top of that toothpick. And they're cutest little penguins. And the grandkids are just going to, I'm going to do those. And what I did is I made a cream cheese igloo on the platter. And then you put all your little penguins around it. And then you put crackers so you can use the cream cheese. And what I did with the cream cheese is I put bacon in it and olives and a little green onion and mix that up first. Then you dress it or frost it with plain cream cheese so it looks like a little igloo. And then you put the little penguins around it, and they're so cute. That's on my Facebook page, but, yeah, they're cute, and it's wonderful. But that is what we do, and we're going to continue, I believe. And everybody's excited about it, too, because then you have so much more time for visiting. I am in the kitchen from start to finish when it comes Thanksgiving. I mean, I am. I do not have the time to greet people and chat with them like everybody else does. And that's my choice. I'm not saying that. I love it. I absolutely love the whole process, you know. And we have a big open kitchen and living room, so it's not like I'm separated from everybody. I wouldn't have it any other way. So I'm right in the middle of everything, drinking wine with everybody else, but I'm still cooking. So this way, everybody brings just everything that they've always wanted to make. You know, you go on Pinterest and you find so many wonderful little, you know, cheese balls and deep-fried shrimp cheese balls and, you know, that you've always said, oh, I want to try that. Well, try it and make a lot of them and put them out there, and then everybody just keeps coming through, and you just kind of snack all day. So then when it's time, you know, and the kids are really wanting to open presents, you don't have to say, wait till after dinner. The only thing here is my tip, is make sure you tell Grandpa Ed, Grandpa, great-grandpa, that this is dinner, because he's sitting over there in the chair going, what time is dinner? This is it. So if you better be eating. question because this is what we're having. Actually, last year I did do a ham, and I sliced it and had rolls and the fixins like mayonnaise and mustard and all that. So if somebody really needed to have a sandwich, that's what we do. And then, of course, we have all kinds of wonderful, you know, drinks. We have a bar, full bar downstairs, so, you know, we have a bell, so we ding the bell, and you have to go down and do shots, secret shots, you know. And then, you know, so we try all kinds of different fun things. That's what we do, and that's what we're going to do again for Christmas this year, because it seemed to really work out really nice last year. We always do it for New Year's, and we thought, you know, why don't we do that for Christmas? The poor grandkids, it's all about the kids anyway. They're all sitting there waiting for us to get done with dinner. You know? So this way, nobody has to wait to get done with dinner because we had dinner all day.
Oh, that sounds very tasty, and love the idea with the cream cheese igloo and the olives. That's really cool, and the long loaf with the bread. You can choose what you want. Sounds really cool. I appreciate the information. Giving me the tips about the cooking these little Cornish game hens. We're going to try probably sometime next week, so gotta love that. But we're out of time. It's going to wrap it up. When you're having fun, boy, time flies, doesn't it?
It does fly. When you're drinking wine, I didn't even have time to sip much wine. Sip and cluck, man. Sip and cluck.
Exactly.
You guys
exactly
have a wonderful Christmas. You're down there in beautiful, 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 beautiful warm weather, and where the shrimp is. Eat some shrimp for me. Just saying.
I will eat some shrimp for you. I'll have some garlic shrimp and some lemon pepper shrimp and some shrimp scampi and
awesome.
Some rolled and peel shrimp and some and I'll think about you every single little morsel. And if you want me to, I'll mail you all the tails back in a little envelope.
Would you please, along with that picture, by the way? I just have to get my picture.
Sounds good. Hey, thank you so much for coming on, Arlena. Great, fun show. And we'll see
thank
you in 2014.
You.
And I hope you have a great holiday and Christmas with your friends and family.
We will. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you all.
All righty. Take care. All righty. That's going to wrap up another Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Hope you enjoyed today's fun show, Garden Wise Living with Arlena. And we'll be on tomorrow, getting back to chickens. Poultry scientist and professor Dr. Bridget McRae will be here doing Q&A, small flock. All righty. So I'll be having you post your questions on our Facebook and Twitter pages so we can get some questions for our poultry expert tomorrow. Okay. Until then, God bless everybody. Ha ha ha.